Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Numbers, chapter 5. I told Grant that I was going to be y'all's favorite missionary this week and that I will preach the shortest. I've been timing all the other guys from start to finish, so they've gave me quite a bit of leeway. But before before we look into Joshua chapter 5, there's some hellos I'd like to say. Greg and Allison Simo and Scott and Beth Wynn have traveled down from Columbus, Indiana. They're friends of mine from one of the churches up that way that supports me, and they made the trip down. Greg came over to see me in March of 2006 in Turkana, and he got a taste for goat and heard you guys were smoking one, and he made the trip down to see if you guys do it like we do it over there, and he was a little disappointed. He said, Eddie, what you needed to do was have them take it out of the smoker and throw it on the ground a little bit and get some of that good Turkana seasoning on it, and then it'd been kind of the same. So I'm glad they made the trip down. Shane and Laura Baker are back that way. They're friends of mine from Somerset, so I'm glad that they've come up tonight to be with us as well. It's been truly a joy to be here. I do thank Brother Grant for the invitation and chat. And, well, I've tolerated Grace, and I appreciate them. Am I allowed to say that? Yeah. I'm sorry, Miss Grace. She's already given me the won't sign. I do appreciate the Hesters and also the Singers for all the accommodations and the hospitalities. I worry when I stand before you guys because there's so many Allens among y'all. And I see there's some scattered here and there and yonder. And between what I've learned this week, I realize that the Singers are prejudiced. They only want Spanish-speaking people in their home. They've never invited me to stay. And poor Grace and Chat get the leftovers, and they're the ones that hosted all the Africans this week. So I do appreciate the willingness of the Hester family and also the partial hospitality of the Singers. You guys as a church have spoiled us plumb rotten. On behalf of all the missionaries, I want to thank you for your hospitality. My baby girl turned 18 on the 29th of May, and I've been skydiving twice. And she's like, Dad, I want to skydive to celebrate my 18th birthday. I'm like, girl, we'll do it. And so I got online trying to set it all up and realized I exceed the maximum weight. And I'm not going to lie about my weight when it comes to parachutes and planes. You guys hadn't helped that issue at all, but I appreciate so very much the way you guys have spoiled us. I also thank you for your support, not just the prayer support and the financial support that you continue to be to Turkana, but you guys are one of those odds churches, and I echo the words of Hopper last night, and that y'all have spent more time with me as a church than even my own church. You guys come over. You came last year, April of 14. You guys are planning to come back in April of 16. And I keep thinking, you know, Grant keeps sending you guys. And one of these days, I hope to see his name on that visitor list. And so I do thank you so much for all the help that you guys have been. Somebody asked me, I think it was tonight, how I got connected to Mount Hebron. And it's through Dr. Ugo and his ministry and the ministry of Macedonia. I didn't know y'all and y'all didn't know me. And MacMed came over, and I had got acquainted with MacMed, and some of the folks from Mount Hebron was on that team. You guys came back in 2007 with MacMed, and I got more acquainted with y'all. And after two trips with me, I finally got an invitation to come. I guess y'all were slow to warm up to us Florida Gator fans. And I finally got an invitation to come, and you guys have stood with me ever since, and I'm so, so thankful. Grant was telling me that you guys were wore out and I needed to have y'all out by 8:30. It wasn't until just a few minutes ago, it's because he's got a 6-hour drive ahead of him tonight, that I understood why he put the time limits on. So having said that, let's look, if you will, in Joshua chapter 5. I was a little nervous last night when Hopper began speaking because I realized I'm that 10-year-old girl that has been tied to the Olympic missionary. And he has left some great shoes for me to try to stand in tonight. And I do want to say this as we look into, echo the words of his son Michael, and that I count it a great privilege and that when I first came to Kenya, I was greener than green. Young kid from Florida, didn't know anything. And I have forgotten just how far I've come until we have sat together this week and reminisced about how far I've come. And this is the first opportunity in all the missions conferences through all the years that he and I have attended that we've had the chance to attend it together. And so, Hopper, I want to thank you for, I'm going to cry like your son, for all that you and Sissy do to me. I live in Kenya by myself, and if I don't get on Facebook or they don't get a text from me, they're calling my phone to make sure I'm still alive up there. And it means a lot to me to have them. I consider them family. And so we speak a lot of Hopper, but Hopper and I can be together all day and talk a little bit. Sissy and I can be together a little bit and talk a whole lot. And so Sissy's a mama to me just as much as Hopper's a daddy, and I do love them both and respect them and the work that they've allowed me to be a part of in Kenya. In Joshua chapter 5. In verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord, now am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And Joshua did so. Tonight I'd like to fling a burden on you, if you allow me to borrow your theme, fling a vision. We've listened to Dr. Ugo explain to us on Wednesday night what it is to have a vision. And we understand from Joshua chapter 29 the perils of a people, the perils of a church without a vision. Those around us will perish, and we understand that. We heard last night from Brother Kevin and Brother Hopper about trying to stay the course and enjoying and seeing the grapes of the land and not the giants. I'm always looking for a reason it can be done instead of the 100 that it shouldn't be. And so tonight I'd like to submit to you this one thought. I have no idea what you have as a mission focus. I have no idea what you have as a mission goal as a church. But whatever it is, I hope you'll lay it aside until we get to the invitation tonight. And what I have had a chance to do is to sit with your pastor and chat a little bit this week and learn. You guys are doing mission work in 10 foreign countries. I'll name them for you. Thailand, Nicaragua, Australia, Mexico, Romania, Israel, South Sudan, Kenya, and we thank you for that. Belize and Costa Rica. You guys are also doing short-term medical trips with Dr. Ugo, taking Macedonian trips, whether they're building programs or medical trips. You guys have a big focus and a big emphasis on the foreign field. And that's unusual for a church. And I thank God for it. And I know you know what Jesus told us, and he told the church in Acts chapter 1, and he said that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. He says both, it gives the connotation, at the same time, as you are witnessing for the Lord among Lancaster and Guerin County and this parts of Kentucky, you also have the responsibility to carry it to the uttermost parts of the world. And you guys know what you're doing here locally, and I've reminded you of the 10 nations that you're carrying the gospel and assisting the gospel to go out. Martha was right. She told me tonight that I would not be able to preach with a gator tie on, and I had no idea what she understood, but now I see you hush. If I want that amen, I'll give it myself. But here we see that the Lord Jesus himself has given the church the privilege. We know the world needs Jesus. Amen. And Jesus has given us, us being the church, the privilege to make that introduction. And he's equipped us and empowered us for that work. And now, whatever your focus is, whatever you've done in the past, whatever you've done last year, I thank God for it. But I want you to put those goals aside as we look in the book of Joshua. Because here we find Joshua standing in the midst of wonder. Here we find Joshua standing just before he goes into Jericho, and he's visited by the captain of the host of the Lord. And he's there and he asks the question of the captain, Lord, what would you have me to do? And I hope it's my prayer this week, if we've listened to and we've been challenged by the word of God, that God may have placed that same question in us. Regardless of where we are, regardless of what we've seen God do in the past, that we stand at the ready with a question, Lord, what would you have me to do? And before we can get to Joshua chapter 5, I'm used to speaking to Turkanans that know very little about the word of God. And so in do so, we have to back up. So before we can get and to spend some time in Joshua 5, I need you to back up, if you will, to Joshua chapter 3. I had the privilege, March last year, to go to Israel for the very first time. And as we were there at the Jordan River, we crossed over into Israel, and we're standing there at the place they say Israel camped. And as they're camped there, you can see the city of Jericho that's there. And it's here at this camping on the other side of Jordan, on the Jordan side of the of this land. Joshua stands as the new leader of Israel. He stands prepared to take Israel into this place of promise. Now let me give you a little bit. Grant told me if I cut the fat, I could get you guys out, and we're going to try. But I need you to understand, there are some folks that sing good gospel songs and they mean well, but they're wrong when they sing songs about the promised land being heaven. Right. It's not. There are enemies, there are giants, there are battles to be fought, and I don't know about your description of heaven, but that ain't the heaven I'm going to. Amen. That promised land is a picture. It's for us as New Testament believers. It's that place of God's perfect will in our lives. We have been delivered by the blood of the Lamb. We have been redeemed. We've crossed through. And God wants us all to enter into that place of promise in our life. And for me, that place of promise is Turkana. For that one there, his place of promise is here at Mount Hebron. And so all of us have God's perfect will in that in our lives. And it's that place that God wants us to be. And Israel now stands ready. And look, if you will, in Joshua chapter 3 in verse 5. She stands on the other side of Jordan. She's ready to go into this place of promise. She's ready to go in and to seize God's perfect will for them as a people. And I love what the Bible says in verse 5. Joshua stands before the people and tells them to sanctify yourself, because on the morrow the Lord will do wonders among us. God wants us to be in the midst of wonder. God wants to give us a vision. God wants to take us into a place that blows everything beyond our imagination to pieces. God wants us to have a dream that is bigger than us. God wants us to have a vision that is bigger than us. God wants us to see his wondrous hand at work in our lives. God wants to see his hand of wonder at work in our churches. And if there's one thing I hope you get, if you get nothing else from this conference, you served and supported 10 works on a foreign field last year. Don't let that be your goal for this year. Do more. Have a bigger vision. Have a grander vision. Understand what Paul said to the church there at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, when he told them, I would have you to know of the grace of God that's bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that they gave beyond their power. How can somebody give beyond their ability? Give beyond their power? That's easy. They were living in a realm of grace. Amen. They didn't sit back as a church and say, we got this. We got the money in the bank. We can make the bottom line meet. We can do it. God bless you if that's your measure of faith. But God wants us to enter into a place where we ain't got this. God wants us to have a vision. God wants us to have a dream. God wants us to stand in the midst of wonder, to where we simply raise our hand and say, Jesus, if it's going to be done, you're going to have to do it. God wants us to live in that realm of faith. God wants us to walk by faith. God wants us to live in the world of wonder. I loved Hopper's message last night about the wonderful difficulties of a foreign field. I have seen and learned more about my God living in Kenya than I ever did living south of Gainesville. That's not because God's not in Gainesville, Rodney. I was fearful about where that amen was coming from. He wants us to have a dream that's bigger than us. I love that when folks sit back and they listen to us and they say, man, that's just impossible. Well, Hudson Taylor was a missionary in China, and he said, the work of God is done in three stages: the impossible, the difficult, and the done. D.L. Moody told his boys, when the God of heaven is your father, dream big, boys. Dream big. As Mount Hebron concludes this conference tonight, as you guys begin to decide what God is going to use you to do in this coming year, in the years to come, 5 years, 10 years from now, I hope the vision is more than what you can even fathom tonight. Because you've stepped into that realm of wonder. And to do that, notice in verse 5 of chapter 3, the Lord says you have to sanctify yourselves. If you sanctify yourselves, on the morrow, the Lord's going to do a wonder among you. I'm going to plow a little close to your corn tonight, so forgive me if I... Well, y'all take it up with Jesus. I don't have a problem with it. Amen. But I struggle sometimes with the lack of power I see in our churches here in the States. And I know we as Baptist preachers like to get on homosexuality. That seems to be the thing to do right now. We make fun of Bruce Jenner and we talk about all those things. But in my Bible, and y'all may have a different version than I do, but in my Bible, the Bible has a lot to say, not just about sodomy, but also about fornication and adultery. And there's a man that I love dearly. He's a pastor of a church, and his boy got a girl pregnant outside of wedlock, and they're posting pictures of sonograms as if this is some praise report to God. They ain't married. That's right. Since when is fornication not in the Bible as sin? And since when do we allow that into our churches and we stand with sin in the camp as Joshua did in Joshua chapter 7, and we wonder why we lose? We wonder why there's no power. It's not because of homosexuality. It's because we have embraced sin. We have allowed the world to come into our camps. We've lived next to it. We've brought it to our families, brought it to our churches, and we've gotten comfortable, and God's taken his hand off of us. And Joshua tells the people, if we are going to see a wonder on the morrow, we need to sanctify ourselves today. We need to come and examine our lives. And if we have sin and we confess it, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us. And if we look in Hebrews chapter 12, we can lay aside that weight that does so easily beset us, that sin, looking to Jesus and run to him. And if we run looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we look at him as the provider and the protector of our faith. We look to him as the Alpha, the beginning of all things, and the Omega, the ending of all things. We look to him as the giver of new life, the giver of new dreams, the giver of new purpose, the giver of new vision. We look to him as the deliverer of the captives. We look to him as the one that has set us free. We look to him as our Redeemer. We look to him as our Savior. We look to Jesus. It's easy to lay aside these things. Amen. Sanctify yourself, because I want to do a wonder among you. But God is holy, and we're supposed to be the body of Christ. And if God is going to empower this church, and if God is going to use this church to stand in the midst of wonder, we need all of us tonight to sanctify ourselves. Amen. Look into yourselves. Look into your lives. Look into those things that only you and God know about, but somehow you've gotten comfortable with. I say, God, I want more. We got to move. Look, if you will, in verse 316. Not only did they make preparations for wonder in chapter 3, verse 5, but then they stood at the brink of wonder in 3:16. They come to the Jordan River, and it's beyond its banks, and the water is deep, and the water is powerful, and they know they can't cross, but God has told them to go. God has told them, if you want to stand in the midst of wonder, you have to step out. If you want to stand in the midst of wonder, you have to step into some places that may be difficult. If you want to stand in the midst of wonder, you may have to enter into some places you've never gone before, but trust me, I've told you to go. And as Israel stepped into the midst of that Jordan River, the Jordan parted. And as they stood there with the Ark of the Covenant and Israel's crossing across dry ground, going into the Promised Land, they saw these stones and they wanted to take these stones over into the Promised Land. They wanted to take these stones to build a monument, to build a memorial, to build a vision that they know not only what the Word of God has to say, but they wanted something to remind them of God's faithfulness to them as a people, so that as when they began to fight, when the battles began to rage, when they got tired, not only could they have the scriptures, they had this monument that said, not God said He would be with us, and I remember when. And I imagine in this church tonight, there's some folks that's got some monuments where that stand is as memorials and remembrances in our lives of a wonder that God has done. Sometimes God removes cancer. Sometimes God raises somebody up from a deathbed. Sometimes God calls a missionary son to serve on a foreign field with his dad. Sometimes God takes a church here in Lancaster and uses them to take the gospel into 10 foreign fields. Sometimes we need to look back and remember the wonder that God has been in our life. And notice after this, they've prepared for wonder. They're standing in the brink of wonder. And then they need to be reminded that they're children of wonder. Look, if you will, in verse 12. I'm sorry, that's not true in verse 3 of chapter 5. They've crossed over the Jordan River. They've built the monument to remember what God has done for them in chapter 4. And then we need to remember, Israel has been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. All but Joshua and Caleb have died. They have remembered that were old enough to be part of the circumcision as they have went out of Egypt. And for 40 years, a new batch of folks have been born. For 40 years, no one has practiced the covenant of circumcision. For 40 years, they've been walking around as an uncircumcised people in the wilderness. And now Joshua's telling them, you've sanctified yourself. It's time that we have a moment of rededication. It's time that we come back to the altar of God and give ourselves again to be reminded that God is our God and we are His people. And they instituted circumcision again. And we, as New Testament saints, the Bible says we're not only born again, we're also adopted into the family of God. We are children of God. We are joint heirs. We are heirs with God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors. And that comes as we stop and we have those moments of rededication. We have those moments where we say, Lord, here am I. What do you want in my life? Here am I, Lord. I give myself. I give all that is precious to you. God, I want to renew my covenant. I want to renew my commitments to you. And now look, if you will, in verse 12 of chapter 5. Hopper stole my thunder last night, so we won't spend too much time on it, but notice, when they were there in Exodus chapter 16, camped out between Elim and Sinai, there in the wilderness, the Bible calls sin. Israel began to partake of this wondrous bread called manna. It was never God's intention for them to eat on it for 40 years. It was never God's intention for them to exist as long as they've existed. But now you've got this new crop of people that's been born in this wilderness of sin, that's been born of this place that Israel wandered. And all they know is manna. And now the Bible says the manna has ceased because they've eaten of the old corn of Cana. And I'd love to spend some time, but I'm out of it tonight. And Hopper did us a great job by looking at the grapes of the land. But folks, I'd rather eat of the old corn of Cana than the manna out of the wilderness of sin any day. And too many times we have settled for less than God wants. Too many times we've gotten comfortable. We've lived in that place of the impossible. We said we can't go in. We can't win. We have no vision. And we're just happy to be here. God bless your soul. God wants us to go in and conquer. God wants us to go in and have a vision. God wants us to go in and enjoy the abundance. He said, I come to bring you life and that you might have it more abundant. I didn't get fat eating manna. I got fat eating the spoils of the fruit of God's perfect will in my life. But Hopper talked about that last night, so we must go on. Look, if you will, in verse 13 of chapter 5. Joshua sees this man. He's got his sword drawn. And Joshua knows there's something different about him. So he goes to the man and he asks one question. Art thou for us? Kind of reminds me what Paul says in Romans. If God be for us, who can be against us? Man, when I was looking for a new vision, I had the privilege of working with Hopper for many years and learning how to do mission work, keeping from making mistakes and tearing the whole country up. And so he's very gracious to me. But then I was looking for a new vision. And when I was heading up to Turkana, I had a lot of folks say, Eddie, there's a reason Wazungu don't live up there. Maybe you ought not to go and just stay down here and visit. But if God be for us, who can be against us? And Joshua needed the question answered, art thou for us? Because Joshua now is standing in the midst of a prepared, praying people. They've come across the Jordan River. They've seen God's hand. But he also is looking at that fortified city of Jericho. And he knows there's a battle ahead of him. And he sees this man that's the captain of the host. Some believe he's God. He's Jesus incarnate. Some believe he's some super angel. I don't know. But I'm telling you, he is a heavenly being. And now Joshua has one question. I know what lays ahead. And I just want to know, are you for us? Joshua knows Jesus can't be beat. Joshua knows as long as our vision is of God, they can't lose. Joshua, he sees Jericho. It's walled, it's mighty, it's shut up, and he knows they can't go in. And now he stands once this heavenly being has been identified and said, yes, I'm with you. I've come to tell you I'm now here. Kind of reminds me about Emmanuel. God's with us.
Amen.
Doesn't matter where we're at. Doesn't matter what we're doing. If our vision is of God, I give you this one promise. God's with you.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you're standing at the brinks of the Jordan River. It doesn't matter if you're in a lion's den. It doesn't matter if you find yourself in the backside of the desert of western Kenya. God's with us. And when that was concluded, Joshua knew that. Notice what happens. Joshua asked the question in verse 14. What saith my Lord unto thy servant? Joshua knew that he was delivered from his sin by the blood of the land in Egypt. Joshua had seen God's faithfulness to him and God's people for 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness. Joshua had seen the hand of God as he's brought them and done a wonder as they stood on dry land in the midst of Jordan. Joshua has seen the faithfulness of God, and now Joshua stands ready to be offered to Jesus. And he says, Lord, what would you have me do? Kind of like Isaiah, here am I, Lord. Who shall go for me? Who shall I send? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Joshua's telling him, Lord, just speak, and I'm ready to do it. And Jesus gives them a plan. The Lord helps them to know how they're going to have victory. One, they're a prepared people. Two, they're a praying people. Three, they're an expecting people. They're standing in the midst of wonder. And now when the plan unfolds and they know how victory will come, there's no one that says, look at the might of Israel. My goodness, they had the choir go ahead and fight for them. And as the choir went and they circled around the city, they had great victory, and it was because of the hand of the Lord. Israel attempted something she could not do, and she seized something she could not seize, because God saw her commitment, God saw her faith, God saw her, and God said, "You are my people, I am your God, and I want to do a wonder among you." And he did. This past year, I was working in a village called Nabuin. We've got a Bible study that's been started there from one of the churches, La Cuadrangulesa, for those of you guys that were there a year ago. Pastor Emmanuel was working in this village, and it's a new Bible study for us. And we don't call them missions because they don't belong to the missionaries, so they're Bible studies. And we're meeting under this tree in a riverbed, and we're teaching. We were there for a bit of time, and this boy, he's 15, 16 years old. He's got his herd of goats, and he's passing by, and he sees us. So he beds the goats down, and he comes and sits and listens for a while. Well, as we got to the conclusion of our service, I asked if there was anyone that wanted to know more about Jesus to come on up, and Josephat, come on up. I had the privilege to sit and talk with him a bit, and Josephat made a profession of faith. Well, the next day, Pastor Emmanuel called my phone. He said, "Ekiru," that's my Turkana name. He said, "Ekiru, you need to come back. Josephat's been beaten." Well, that's new for me. So I went back out to Nabuin, and I found Josephat. I said, "Brother, what happened?" He said, my dad beat me when I came home." Well, that just doesn't happen with us. I've never. So I said, "Take me to your daddy's house." So he took me back to their boma, and I sat down with the parents, the mom and daddy of this boy, and I asked Baba Josephat, I said, "Tell me, why did you beat your son?" He said, "Ikaru, when he came back from your place, he started telling stories about Jesus, and before I knew it, these bad winds had blown into the boma," and Hopper can tell you what a boma is. I don't know what it is, but it's a boma. And they were telling me to beat my son. So I did. So I told Baba Josephat, I said, "I don't know what all there is to know about these bad winds, but I do know this. Jesus can not only save you from your sin, but he can give you victory over any bad winds that blow into this place." Amen. And I had the privilege of leading Mama and Baba Josephat to Christ. And amen. About a week later, Pastor Emmanuel calls again. He said, "Ekru, you need to come back. Baba and Mama Josephat have been beaten. His leg is broke, and so is her arm." So I go by to the hospital there in Lodwar, and I get Dr. Sifuna, who's one of the doctors that I work with, and he goes up there with me. And he looks at them, and his leg is all swollen, her arm is all swollen, and Sifuna determined that they didn't have any broken bones. They were just badly beaten and bruised. And so once their medical needs were attended to, I asked. I said, "Baba, tell me what happened." He said, "Ekaru, my daughter came and she's grown. And I was telling her about your visit and started telling her about your Jesus and she beat us." I said, "Where is this girl? Go get her." So word went out, y'all see where I'm going already. So word went out that the missionary was calling for this girl, so she come back, and I asked her, I said, "Tell me why. Why did you beat your mom and daddy?" She said, "Ikaru, they were talking to me about your visit, and these bad winds blew into the boma and told me to kill my parents, and I tried." I said, "You know what? I don't want to have to be back next week. Go get everybody." So word went out that I was asking for the family to come together. And as I sat for the hours as it took for word to get out and people to make their way back to the boma, I was reminded of Psalms 2:8, where the Lord tells David, "Ask of me." That's where your vision comes in. And I have no idea what you're asking God for, What you're asking God for is an individual. What you're asking God for collective is a church. But the Lord tells David, if you ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And I said, Jesus, this is why I'm here. I'm asking you for this family. I'm asking you for this Boma. I'm asking you for this village, that you would find an inheritance, that you would take this ground that is now possessed and being under the power and influence of Satan, and you would deliver it through the blood of Jesus and give us this place. I hope that as you guys are searching for a vision, that you would also begin to pray Psalms 2:8. Well, no matter what it is you're asking of God, I hope it's for an inheritance. Because the heathen are not the Turkana that live on the backside of Western Kenya. The heathen are the folks that live right here in Garrett County that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The uttermost that God is asking us to have a possession isn't just over in Thailand, isn't just in Nicaragua. You don't have to go to South Sudan to find the uttermost. The uttermost live less than a mile from the door of this church, that their heart has yet to claim Jesus as their Savior. Amen. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And now dusk has come, and the family is gathered. And I began to share with them about Christ. And I watched as 25 adults stood hand in hand and said, Ikaru, we need this Jesus. Well, as is my custom, when I get ready to come back to the States, I try to go back and visit the villages that I'm working to tell them I'm going back to America and I'll be back in August. And so as I went back to Nabuin, I went back to see Mama and Baba Josephat, and I asked old Mze, how are things? He said, Ikaru, I can't read a word of that book that you carry. And I don't know a thing about God except what you've told us. But I do know this. Since we've asked Jesus to be our Savior, and we've asked him to come and live in our Boma, we haven't had any more trouble. Amen. With those bad winds. God is doing a wonder in Turkana. God is doing a wonder in the family of Mama and Baba Josephat in the backside of the desert in Nabuin. And God wants to do a wonder among you. Amen. You may not know all there is to know in this book that we carry, but I hope that God will give you a vision beyond anything that you can fathom. And if you'll sanctify yourself, if you'll pray, and if you'll stand expecting, Jesus said, I want to do a wonder here at Mount Hebron. So we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed. I'm going to ask our pianist if she would come. I asked Brother Grant if I could take some liberties tonight. And so you guys bear with me. We may not ever sing a verse, but I do want to remind you of this one testimony. My daddy's sister and her husband were a deacon's wife and a deacon of St. Catherine Baptist Church in Central Florida. My grandma's brother and his wife were youth director and wife at St. Catherine Baptist Church. My uncles are deacons of their churches. All of my family, church-going folk, just like you. All of my family coming to mission conferences just like you. But my mom and daddy weren't church-going people. My mama was an atheist. My daddy walked away from the Lord when he was 17 years old. Me and my sisters were born and raised in an atheist home. And my family would come and gather in meetings just like this. But they lacked a vision that a former Marine atheist mama could be saved. They lacked a vision that a backslidden Baptist that walked away from the Lord at 17 could return. They lacked a vision that some 17-year-old punk kid in high school would be interested in the things of God. So for 17 years, I grew up lost and undone in the shadow of a church that failed to stand in the midst of wonder. I stood this growing up in the shadow less than a mile from the doors of a Baptist church that had no vision. I grew up less than a mile from a church that refused to say, God, help us do more. But I thank God that in April 1991, some preacher from Gulfport that had a vision, some preacher from Gulfport that said, Lord, help me do more here than has been done in the past, and come knocked my door. And I thank God that on April 30th, 1991, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. When my mama needed to be saved, I didn't say, God, send somebody else. I said, God, show me your wonder by saving my atheist Marine mama. People ask all the time, Eddie, how can you go and share the gospel with a witch doctor? Because I did it to my mama. And if God can save mama, he can save anybody. And we need some folks with a vision tonight. We need some folks that stand in the ready. I don't care how long you've been here. I don't care how long you've sat in a pew. I don't care if your granddaddy's granddaddy was a charter member of Mount Hebron. I'm asking you tonight, what is your vision? Are you prepared to ask God the same as Joshua did? Here am I, Lord. What would you have me do? And tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, and as our pianist begins to play softly, I want to ask if you will. Joshua told Israel to sanctify yourself. There may be some folks that need to come to the altar tonight and say, God, there are some things in my life that I've carried long enough. These Babylonian garments, these pieces of gold and pieces of silver bring nothing but defeat. And I'm tired of losing. I want to win. There may be some folks in your family that's been touched too long by sin, been held too long, chained to this world. And you want to come tonight and say, God, I bring my family, I bring myself, I bring my church to the altar of God, asking God to sanctify us as a people. I wonder tonight, is there some among us that need to have a time of rededication? For 40 years, Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now they stand ready. And they came, and they recommitted themselves to the Lord. I try to recommit myself to God at least once a year. Look at where I'm at, asking God to do more with my life. How long has it been since you've come to the altar of God? Weeping, God, give me a vision. Lord, I give myself to you. I commit my family to you. And God, I'm asking you to use me. I'm asking you, God, to give me a burden. I'm asking you, Lord, to do a wonder in our midst. Tonight, as folks are coming to the altar, I wonder if there's one among us would simply raise a hand and say, Eddie, pray for me. Pray that God would increase my vision. Pray that God would give me a bigger burden, a deeper burden for the lost. Help me to pray for the missionaries and the mission points that we support around the world. Help me to pray that God would help me to have a bigger part. There are hands across the building tonight. Folks, I want to ask if you will. Come to the altar. When they stood ready, Jesus said, go. And I know it's easy for you to pray in your pew, and I realize it's not Mount Hebron custom. But there's something special about coming to the altar of God, saying, God, I bow in your presence, and I'm asking this of you. Our Heavenly Father, God, as we bow tonight, folks are continuing to come and do business at your altar. And Lord, there were hands across the building tonight saying, God, do a wonder in my life. Do a wonder in my family. Do a wonder in my church. Help us, God, to see you at work. And Lord, we give ourselves to you. We take these sins, we take these things that we have been holding on to, and we bring them to the altar and we leave them there. We come and we rededicate ourselves to you, bowing at your feet, looking to Jesus, saying, Jesus, what is it? What is it that you would have us do? God, I pray that we stand at the ready. I pray that you would enlarge our vision. Help us to look to the future with your eyes. Help us to go in the future with your strength. Help us to go in your might and in your power, knowing that victory can only come if we come trusting in you. Lord, I pray that you would move and that we would stand in the midst of your presence. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Brother Grant.